From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of May, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, the elevator right here in Champaign County. We'll take a quick look at the agricultural news from Washington, D.C., and then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast, too, with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In our 40th year of the program, more than 10,000 episodes and some 30,000 interviews.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
A July corn for the day settled at $4.45 and a half. That was 3 cents higher. December at $4.40 and a half, down a half cent. July soybeans up 5 and a quarter. They settled at $10.77 and three quarters. And November futures, $10.61 and a quarter, a penny and three quarters higher. Bean meal futures down $1.40 to $91.90. The settlement price, bean oil at $52.32, 84 cents higher. Wheat futures, soft red July, up 7 and a half cents. Settlement price at $5.24 and three quarters, the hard red July in the harvest month at $5.23 even, up 11 and a quarter cents. Live cattle futures $2.25 lower. The feeder cattle were off $4.02 and a half, and lean hogs down 65 cents per 100 pounds for the day. Crude oil 45 cents lower per barrel at $63.23. And the wholesale price of gasoline today just about unchanged at $2.13 and a tenth of a cent per gallon. Ethanol down a penny and 7 cents, $1.70 and 7 cents per gallon. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the marketplace as the president has been traveling out of the country. I say that, Greg, because when the president's in the country, and this was the way it was in the first term, there were lots of things that would happen in agriculture that were based on trade and discussions that the president of the United States would be having. You and I have been through many presidents. This is the one that has the most impact directly on the CME group. I suppose things are a little quieter today than they have been for the last week or so.
You're exactly right. We're waiting for more details to develop, and the only details we have so far is the agreement between the U.S. and the U.K. There's supposedly more deals in the works and to be announced soon, but it depends on what your definition of soon is, I guess. So today we are looking for new news, and there's not a lot of new news out there other than the weather forecast, I guess. Looks to be continued wet. Showers continue to come through, and with most areas approaching 80% planted, you know, the focus there turns to rain is a good thing. Now, if you're in southern Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, places like that, rain is not a good thing. They'd like to see it dry up for a couple of weeks and let them get planted. And then everybody will be in that same camp after they get that planted that will be looking for rain. But at this point, a little wet in southern Illinois and Kentucky, but that's about the only area. So in general, planting progress is ahead of the five-year average and right on pace with what most farmers would like to see completed at this point.
There had been, and I think there still remain, some areas across the Midwest that are moderately dry, even a couple that have been in moderate drought. Probably not enough area for the marketplace to get very excited about.
Right. And it's just too soon to get excited about dry weather. If this continues for another 30 to 45 days, yes, then we have a story. But, you know, I always equate it to people that have irrigation. They're not running their irrigation systems today. They don't run those until late June, early July, typically. So that's when it's critical for the crops to get rain. When the crops are small, they don't need a lot of rain. They can root down and find what moisture's there. So it's hard to kill the crop in May. It's hard to really get a weather-related rally in corn this time of year, just for that reason. So we're probably 30 days away from you know, really focusing on weather as a potential market mover. And so until then, corn sitting at the lowest price we've had since the first of the year, whereas beans, on the other hand, are 25 cents off the highest price we've had since the first of the year. The difference being that there's been some demand in the soybeans here recently, government-related. You know, traders are wondering whether the government mandate on the renewable biodiesel will encourage more soybean oil. And as oil price, soybean oil prices are the highest they've been since December of 2023. So there is definitely some artificial or government related demand in the soybean oil market. The question is, can you crush soybeans just for the oil? And historically, the answer is no, because 80% of the bean is soybean meal and 20% is soybean oil. So what do we do with all that extra soybean meal if we do in fact crush beans for the oil? So in the short run, that's a little friendly, and we've seen oil prices at all-time highs, or recent highs anyway, and that's helped out the soybean market. But I'm not sure if that can continue.
Yeah, and China, for its part, has said, and they generally don't take very much meal from us at all, if any, I don't quite recall, has said, you know, for our livestock industry, we're going to try to limit meal. And that would limit soybean imports in general to that nation anyway. What else are you watching in the marketplace?
Right now, we've seen basis levels firm up on corn, because that's directly related to the lack of farmer selling. Whereas the bean basis has gotten a little bit weaker, and that's also directly related to the farmers are selling beans. So we're seeing a pickup in old crop bean movement, and that's reflected in a weaker bean basis. And we're seeing very little movement in corn. Farmers just don't like these prices. They're already 80 to 85% sold on old crop corn. And I think at this point, if they've held on this long, they're probably going to hold on another 30 to 40 days and see if we can get some weather-related rallies in the corn. So lack of farmer movement has resulted in a little bit stronger basis. At this point, we look at funds as well. The funds have sold off their big long position that they had this winter in corn. They're basically even right now on both corn and soybeans. So that could go one of two ways. If we have ideal weather through the growing season, we could see the funds establish a short position going into fall harvest. On the other hand, if we have any kind of weather concerns, we could see the funds reestablish that long position. So they're right in the middle at this point at even, and we're waiting to see which way they go. And then the other thing that we're keeping an eye on is the overall economy. We're seeing a rally in the U.S. dollar, which is not good for commodity prices, but we are seeing a little bit of inflation related to the tariff talk. In the short run, inflation could be a little friendly for commodity prices, but there's still, as you said to start the show, things change almost on a daily basis when it comes to the trade talks and the tariff talks. So nobody has a real firm opinion on how that's going to go. So it's kind of day to day as far as that's concerned.
Are you getting information up and down the system itself as to what we believe the tariffs are on corn, soybeans, and wheat going into China? Has there been an indication really yet of what that number is?
Well, we know it's not the 145 that it was going to be. That effectively shuts off any soybean exports to China. China hasn't bought corn from us for several years, but they do buy a fair amount of beans from us. So that's the big concern, is on soybeans. And at 145, they're not going to buy anything from us. Now, at 35%, they could, but I think what we're waiting to see what the results of the talks are between the two U.S. representatives and the Chinese representatives. And so, you know, I know we've been around long enough to know that this could take weeks, if not months. I'm not looking for an answer today or tomorrow. I think this could drag on for a while. So, but at least they put the 90-day moratorium on the 145% tariff. So if they do want to buy something, it's at some more reasonable tariff level, like 30%. It's not great, but it's not 145. But in order to see the tariff number, whatever the eventual tariff number is going to be, it's probably going to be several weeks, if not months, before we see some resolution between U.S. and China.
Yeah, I suppose most of the industry agrees, at least for the ag products, it won't be the 10% that China and the United States are thinking about, but something 10% plus. So I went through some of those numbers yesterday as well. You can listen to them on the closing market report from Monday if or from Tuesday if you'd like. South American corn crop, Safrina, still in good shape.
Yes, and that's another reason for the weakness in the old crop corn. We were concerned that with the good demand that we've seen here out of the U.S. for corn, that we might have to keep prices pretty high to get to new crop. But now with the South American crop looking to be pretty good, I think that's going to serve as a pretty good buffer. So for the time being anyway, the feeling is that there's going to be enough old crop corn. And that's why we've seen the prices sell off a little bit as far as corn is concerned.
Hey, Greg, thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. In today's agricultural news, House Republicans Monday proposed a $290 billion cut from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program over the next decade. The GOP plan uses some of the money saved to increase spending on commodity programs, crop insurance, and other farm bill programs. The draft text released Monday shows the bill's agricultural provisions would increase the PLC reference price by 10 to 20% in line with the farm bill the committee approved last year. Politico says the $230 billion instructed savings target will be reached by forcing states to pay for part of the SNAP program using a sliding scale based on their payment error rates beginning in fiscal 2028 and would pay between 5 and 25% of the benefit costs. Other portions of the bill increase the individual limit for commodity program payments from $125,000 to $155,000 and indexed it for inflation. In other items from D.C., Growth Energy welcomed the news that the proposal released Monday from the Ways and Means Committee included an extension of the 45Z Clean Fuel Production Credit. It's an incentive designed to spur innovation in American biofuels. The 45Z Clean Fuel Production Tax Credit is intended to incentivize the production of low-carbon transportation fuels. Growth Energy's research demonstrates that the credit would add $21.2 billion to the U.S. economy and support more than 192,000 jobs. And that's a look at today's Ag News. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take a look at the global growing regions and the impact of climate and weather on each of them. Hello, Drew. Thank you very much. The immediate impact had been that farmers were worried for a little bit that they were going to be late, and then suddenly they caught up. They really haven't ever been late, but they were a little worried about getting into parts of the eastern Corn Belt particularly. Now, I will say that southern Indiana, southern Illinois, parts to the south of the Corn Belt really have still been struggling to make up time. Did they do much better in this past week? And if not, will they do much better in the next 7 days?
You know, the biggest problem with that area isn't so much the volume of precipitation, it's just the frequency. After the big rains that occurred at the end of April, early May, or no, sorry, end of March, early April, you know, they have been struggling ever since. It was so much rain that, you know, a lot of these low-lying areas just got into standing water. And it's been very difficult to get that out because it keeps precipitating periodically. It's not heavy, but it's just enough to counter the evaporation that's occurred in the runoff. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. Those areas are still hurting. And the pattern is not going to be any different over this next probably 2 weeks at least. I do think that the warmer temperatures will help. Now, we're going to be seeing a lot of 80-degree temperatures on a near daily basis over this next couple of weeks. So that's going to help a lot when it's not raining. So I do think it'll get better, but I don't want to imply it's not going to continue to rain periodically, because we do have rain every few days coming into a part of that region. It's going to be really difficult to get really notably drier.
I'll have to think about how that impacts the weekly crop progress report. If it was to the north, we would see it, but it would disappear quickly as the planting dates started to go away. However, because those are in the south, if those acres are not planted, the expectation that they will be planted will continue to be. I would think that the crop progress report might show that planting slows down pretty substantially in the last 2 weeks and certainly the first couple of weeks of June. We'll see how that happens. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm sorry, Drew.
Because
one last thing on that, the way the planting crop progress works is it's what we expect to plant. And then as soon as we don't expect to plant that, that drops off. So it's not that it got planted. It's just that no longer is it expected to be planted, so it doesn't show up in the stat. Okay, given all of that, Iowa, Minnesota, the two Dakotas, maybe Nebraska, they have had really good conditions, have moved really fast for the most part, I believe. Will they get rainfall?
Yes, they will. It will take a week yet. They still have about 7 days to go through before it starts to rain in that region. I would say for sure it'll be dry through the weekend. And then next week we'll start seeing parts of that region getting a little bit of moisture. The better rain is probably going to be about midweek next week. It's still debatable how significant it will be, but we should see at least everybody that's been without the moisture to get at least a little bit of something. Now, the Southwest Plains probably won't do all that well, but the heart of the Midwest should get relief. And of course, we've got still a pretty darn good chance for seeing substantial rains in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt.
Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. I know there's a lot of difference in the heat in some of those areas. Kansas wheat crop looks like at least part of it's in really good condition. Will it continue to get some rain there for both the wheat, the corn, and the soybeans?
You know, I think a big part of central and western Kansas down in the panhandle, that area is probably not going to see much moisture for the next week to maybe 9 days or so. For the eastern part of Kansas and some of that corn and soybean production area in the eastern part of the Central Plains in general, I do think that there will be some moisture that will show up. But it is a week away, and we are going to see some 80 and lower 90 degree temperatures for a little while here. We'll start to cool down, and that's what will help to trigger some of the moisture. So, you know, a part of that region will get some relief. I doubt that a big part of Nebraska is going to get a serious amount of rainfall. Now, the northern part of the state will probably do okay, but the central and southern portions of Nebraska and into the eastern areas, I think the rains are going to be somewhat light. They will definitely provide an opportunity for short-term improvement, but as far as fixing the long-term drier scenario, not quite so sure we're going to do that.
From Dayton, Ohio to Champaign to Springfield, northward in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, parts of Wisconsin, what do things look like?
You know, I think it's a pretty darn good scenario. There's a lot of variation. We've been a little wet. There's no question about that. And we do need to see some drier bias conditions. This week's upper level low is still trying to get out of the region, but it will go ahead and be successful with that. And like I said, we'll get into some 80 degree plus readings of temperatures here coming up over the next several days. And that will help to promote the drier bias. But we do have more rain that will develop a week from now, and that is going to slow things down just a little bit again. So, you know, I think that in general, for the crops that are in the ground, it's not a bad scenario. For those folks that are still trying to put the rest of the crop in, it may be just a little challenging, but not the end of the world. We're not going to be so excessively wet that we can't get that done. The exception, again, is that area we talked about in the lower Ohio River Valley down into the Delta. That might be a little bit different story.
Let's hopscotch across the planet now. We'll begin in the Canadian prairies. Will they get rainfall?
You know, there's quite a contrast going on up there. There's this storm system, there's two of them actually that are going to move across the northern U.S. plains here in the coming week. The first one is going to begin tonight, will go on into Saturday morning, and that storm will impact the heart of the Dakotas in a pretty significant manner, and it does extend up into southeastern Saskatchewan and west central and southwestern Manitoba, which is that whole region there has been pretty dry for a fair amount of this growing season so far. And so this is going to be a nice significant event. 1 to 4 inches of rain will occur in the Missouri Valley in the heart of the Dakotas, and probably 3/4 of an inch to a couple of inches will occur in the Canadian side of the fence. Now, just to the west of that, in the western 2/3 of Saskatchewan and eastern parts of Alberta, it is getting way too dry once again. This is, I don't know how many years it's been. It's been many years where they've been struggling with dryness in some of that region, and they're not going to be seeing a lot of rain for the next week to week and a half. There may be something that shows up in the last week to 10 days of May. A lot of folks up there are beginning to become a little worried that drought's coming back. My personal opinion is that they will get timely rain at the end of May and especially in June.
In Europe, are there concerns you've been watching?
You know, it's been unusually dry for a very long period of time in northern Europe. This is the North Sea region, United Kingdom, northern France, parts of the Germany, a big part of Germany. The low countries, as I call them, that's Belgium and Netherlands and Luxembourg, and on up into Scandinavia, that area's seen a persistence of below normal precipitation. The thing that's been saving the crops in that region is it hasn't been that warm. And so because it hasn't been hot, they're doing okay, but they need some rain. And if it heats up and it doesn't rain, they're going to be in a big trouble, a big mess pretty quickly. So we're going to watch that area. The odds are good that after about 10 more days that they'll start seeing some moisture. So it's probably nothing more than something just to be a little worried about. They'll probably come through it okay.
An enormous part of China's growing regions had been in dry areas north of the Yangtze River, I believe. Has that changed over the last week?
Yeah, you know, we got some timely rain in the eastern part of that dry area. That's primarily the North China Plain. And certainly the relief shrunk that dry area down by about 40%. The relief may be temporary, but it did do a nice job in providing some needed moisture. Now, the rest of that area is still pretty darn dry, and we don't expect any changes in the next 10 days, and it will be warm. We'll look for upper 80 and lower to middle 90-degree highs daily through the next 10 days. So that dryness may expand again, and we'll need to keep a close eye on it. We're now getting into the time period where this is much more important for the spring and summer crops, and that are not irrigated, obviously. And so we need to keep an eye on it. If they fail to get some rain before the end of the month, then I think that there's going to be a big shift in attitude about what's going on in that part of the country. The rest of China is in good shape. That includes the corn and soybean areas in the northeast, where more than half of those crops are produced, and plenty wet in southern China, where there's a lot of rice produced.
And finally, in Argentina, it's time to plant winter wheat. What are conditions like?
You know, this may be the best planting season Argentina's had in multiple years, maybe before 2020. We've had plenty of moisture here during the past few weeks, and the ground is adequately moist. There's a few areas in the west that maybe aren't all that great, but relative to where we've been in recent years, the moisture profile is almost ideal. And we have some more rain coming up this week. The start of wheat planting is usually in late May, and June is the primary planting month, and I think things are looking really good for them.
Hey, thanks much.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.